Hi, Cynthia.
Hello, Serge.
So, a few years ago, several years ago, you started the New York Metro Group of Focusing.
Well, I hesitate to say I started it, although it was certainly the generation of the idea was mine for certain. But the actual coming into being was the product of several of us, including primarily Larry Hirst, but also Naomi Glicken and Katja Salkinder. Were among the first people who there and helped it come into being. Yeah, the idea, I think. I mean, there's a whole history to how it came into focus as my project when I was getting certified with Robert Lee, which is probably not relevant in terms of that development. But the most relevant piece, I think, has to do with the sense of, oh, here we are at the end of our training. And what's next? Where is there a community for us to belong to? I mean, we had this very intimate group that we had been studying and training and focusing with for 2 or 3 years, and now we were moving on. And what was there in terms of a structure for a group for us to belong to? And while there were, there'd be isolated workshops here and there and focusing partnerships, no overall organization. So the idea really came into being out of a sense of need. And the original idea was,
Okay, is
yes,
it
go ahead.
okay if I interrupt you? Because as you're
Sure.
talking, I'm connecting to a sense of emotion when you talk about this way. And I want to, in a way, highlight the resonance that it has for me. That, like a phrase like it came out of a sense of need is general, but in a way, where I'm resonating with is that emotional sense of the need being, as you said, in an intimate group for several years, including during the last week of focusing, and enjoying the level of connection that this brings, and connecting to the emotion of, I really like this. And if I can find something like it, it's going to be something I never have again. Or how can I have more of this in my life? And it has a very profound emotional resonance for me. And I wanted to maybe linger a little bit on that aspect.
I think it's this need for. For me, it's a need for community and connection. And it's very curious that our meeting this coming December is going to be on community. We haven't quite formed how it will be, but specifically, ultimately, it will be about the Metro focusing community and what we need to do to make it more of a community, help it feel more connected, help it, like we really share something in common. So I'm just thinking there was this sense of no community. What is community? Sense of common goals of that doesn't even sound quite right. I don't know. What are your thoughts about community?
Well, again, it was beautiful from the moment you mentioned this. There was that lived-in experience of, in a way, that if we try to describe it in an abstract way, we can go into all kinds of ideas. But what I really liked about how you set it up is from that experience of actually having the community and valuing it during the training, and having that felt sense of missing it unless you do something about it. So, in that sense, what I like about it is it's very concrete. It's is really that sense of I like, you know, this is something that, you know, that feels very powerful. And I asked you earlier, you know, at the beginning, I said, you started it, and you say, yeah, well, I had the idea, but it wouldn't have happened without these people. And so in a way, from the very beginning, it's like, yeah, I can have all the ideas in the world, but it takes people coming together to make it happen. And so I'm very happy that in a way we're talking about community, not in an abstract way, but about the experiences of it.
There's something else here that's coming up as you're talking and reflecting some of this and your own experience, is at the very, from the very beginning and continuing, is this sense that that an ongoing group, such as Metro Focusing is, needs to have an underlying structure that helps us cohere. But in that structure, there needs to be a lot of process that we're always kind of in touch with and that we're sharing and that we're aware of. And so that the structure, if necessary, evolves. But really what it allows for is if there's a holding structure that allows the organization to continue into the future without a particular leader or leaders, that the structure will continue. The process keeps it alive and growing and relevant. And that's kind of where we are now in terms of developing how do we really foster our connections with one another? How do we really feel like we're part of something that's vital, this living kind of organism?
So once the group was started, what happened in meetings?
Well, we would have people who would come and present their work or present a topic of interest, and I'm just looking to see if I can find our archives to give you a sense. Anyway, they would come and present, and they were always experiential presentations, and we would have lovely focusing experiences, and they were very rich meetings. But it felt like we weren't really communicating with one another within our within the group as we during the course of the meetings. And I even hate to call them meetings because that sounds so structured. Gatherings, this feels like a better word. And so there was a point at which we explored new territory, and it was a pivotal meeting in many ways. Joan Lavender led us in exploring new territory, and it was kind of a double entendre because the topic was aging, and the process of the group was new. So the process of the group was where we were all experts, and in the sense of exploring this territory of aging. And we talked with one another, and we shared our personal experiences and our personal, you know, what was coming from our reflections in a focusing way. And it was a very enlivening interaction with one another. And we have been growing in that direction since then and have really been encouraging people who come to facilitate. We no longer call them presenters as such. We call them facilitators to help us facilitate conversation among ourselves. And we are now also trying to develop, well, how do we have these conversations? How do we really learn? How do we develop the skills to have a focusing conversation.
And that's
what we, and how do we help facilitators facilitate such a focusing conversation?
So it's
a complex development, and it's very challenging in some ways.
But someone went to do that brief summary of years of evolution, that the group was born of a need, a shared need to have a community and to gather regularly. And in having that community, progressively came the sense of, well, it's nice if it's more than just somebody presenting, however experientially. And then there was this turning point where it coalesced into what's really great is to have a group process, to have that interaction, to have that sense of facilitating a group process and a group focusing, a focusing conversation as a group.
One of our steps over the prior year has been to really identify what is it that allows a focusing conversation to emerge. And I think it's well known in the focusing world, that pausing is central. Slowing down and pausing and really allowing what you've heard or witnessed and letting it really resonate within. And in even before that, I think one has to kind of mark what one wants to say, what one has come to for oneself, and then kind of letting that be and then really listening to what has been said. And then when whatever has been said or shared by someone else, then checking how has that shifted what has really meant something to you just previously, the felt sense of what had come just previously, and then speaking from that place, that new place that's come as we've really listened to what someone else or others have said, so that there's a whole different dynamic than just sharing what has come for you, and that's kind of like the sum total of it. It's no, letting yourself be impacted by what someone else has said.
Yeah. So, of course, that's something that as a focuser, as an individual focuser, as a focuser in a dyad, in a way everybody in the focusing world knows. And what it is about is to create a structure, to create a group, to create an environment in which it is possible to experience this in a group setting.
Yes. And I had read this book that Greg Madison had edited along with someone else, I forget. Laura Barnett. Yeah, and it was a chapter on a dialogue with dialogue, a dialogue on a dialogue, and the phrase that has stuck with me is this genuinely unfinished openness. And that just touches my being, that we go into a conversation with genuinely unfinished openness.
That feels so nice, a genuinely unfinished openness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to develop in our group process, you know. And it's very challenging because if there are a number of people there, if there are like 20, 25, 30, sometimes even 40 people there, it's very hard to have a community process. And yet the first, I mean, where we were coming from is that, oh, let's not break into dyads or triads and take away from the experience of building community. Let's keep the energy in the group as a whole. But then there's also all of this time that one has something that one is, that's generating inside of one, and it's not able to be shared, even if it's being developed along the way, it wants to be said.
Yeah.
And in too large a group, it's hard for everyone to have a voice, a sufficient voice. So we're now moving towards, and we haven't quite done this yet, but the idea of breaking into groups of 5, 6, or 7, and being able to share in that community and building the alliances, building the shared experience in the smaller group, and then bringing it back to the larger group, not just a dyad or a triad, because that there are difficulties with that in a large group. People's processes can get stopped very easily because people are so sensitive, and trust in these small groups is so important. And trust can't necessarily be built so easily if you don't know the person or whatever. So we thought that we would try exploring this new breaking into smaller groups. If there's a large, you know, if there are 20 or 25 people. So we can all have our voice.
And so it's interesting of how the richness of this is, you know, that sense of from the beginning of the of working as a group, you had that sense of, no, we don't want to be dyads, we want to work as a group. And then there's the practicality with numbers of, well, too large a group doesn't allow for it. So then you go into, you know, maybe the concept of smaller groups as opposed to dyads and coming back together. So, again, what strikes me is it's a sense of the ongoing, it's an ongoing experiment into what it's like to have a shared process.
Yes. And what is we've been going now for over 8 years, which is fabulous. But, you know, we need to keep growing. We need to keep finding what is the way that we can feel connected with one another and that there's space for every voice. And I've also recently, you know, coming to really appreciate needing to make space for every voice. That when every voice, when every person is heard, it changes the whole. It changes the whole.
So the power of this is, it's not just a formula, it's not just a way of speaking, but it's very literal. We've had these conversations before of, in a way, really putting effort into encouraging every person to express themselves. It's not just a concept.
No. And then there's another, absolutely, and then there's another tension, which is each person's needing to be aware not only of themselves, but also of the group. And I know there's a Quaker concept of not speaking beyond one's calling. and Jean wrote a paper called Fitting In, Pouring Out, and Relating. And it's the pouring out is the idea of not speaking beyond one's calling, which is where you get into, you know, you forget the group. You forget it, and it just becomes kind of an ego thing where you're just going on and on. And really just speaking that peace that, or saying that peace that, that is really genuinely coming from the felt sense of the moment.
And so that extra dimension that, you know, when we talk about coming from the felt sense, often in a traditional focusing setting, it seems to be, in a way, self-centered. Not necessarily in a bad way, but self-centered. And what you're beautifully describing there is that it's something that happens at the intersection of being both self-centered, but also centered in the group, and being able to have that attunement to both self and group in order to not have some selfish outpouring, and to have that moment where the expression is in tune with the group.
Absolutely. You just said it beautifully, Serge. Thank you. yes. And in a sense, I see the Metro Focusing meetings as an opportunity to develop these skills, you know, because I don't think any of us is very good at it, you know, in the end. I mean, and so it's like, how do we maintain contact with ourselves and the group? You know, how do we hold them both? And sometimes I think it's going back and forth and back and forth, and I don't know that we can hold both of them simultaneously. I'm not sure.
But again, it's very nice, as you point out, that none of us is really very good at it necessarily, and that sense of the practice. And we could go into a theoretical discussion making an enormous difference between self and group, and in a way implying that it's impossible for the two to come together. But this is an experience where being in such a group means being at the edge and being having the practice of holding both moment by moment.
Yes, yes. Holding both moment by moment, or moment by moment, holding one and then the other and then the other, scanning, you know, back and forth. You know, something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's just challenging, but it's really the area that when it happens, it is so exciting. It is so, I will say that there's a planning group for the Metro Focusing meetings. There are about seven of us in it. And those kinds of conversations happen in the planning group all the time. And I often leave a planning group meeting feeling very high because we've had such an enlivening, enriching, generative, creative, you know, moving from one place to another. And growing an idea, and not getting stuck, you know, in one place, because we're open to each person's contribution and sharing, and it shifts the whole then. It happens there, and we would love for it to happen, in the larger Metro Focusing meetings on with some degree of more regularity.
You're making a distinction between the planning meetings, that small core group of people who are organizing and planning, and the meetings at large. And what feels very nice is that actually when you are in something that's more of a task mode of planning, you are not abandoning in a way the spirit of the group process, but actually very much going into it and going into it with a very satisfying depth, so that the satisfaction you get is not just of what you accomplish, but that the way you accomplish it feeds you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yes, right on target, Serge. It's the process that's enlivening. It's not just the task and where we got to. It's how we got there, and it's just lovely to have, you know, a group that has the capacity to do that. You know, the planning group. You know, we think very carefully about what each of our meetings at this point will be about. And we are having one in the fall. Lynn Preston is going to lead us in one on focusing conversations, you know,
mm-hmm.
and becoming aware of the energy and the dance between us, you know, or among us. And we're not quite sure how it's all going to generate yet, but maybe there will be this focus on skills development too. You know, how do we hold on to ourselves and the group and be aware of those, the going back and forth between holding all of that? And then the next meeting will be on community development.
Mm-hmm.
So, and opening that up to the whole community. And that may be the critical piece, is really having an open agenda and not having, you know, a specific experience that we're hoping, that are exploring a specific thing. You know, it's like a much more open-ended kind of
and so,
meeting that we'll have. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is that sense of there is an open-ended part, obviously, but there is also, in a way, the strength of the experience that you have. And you're describing how in the planning meetings, that experience of being self and the group and that process is so powerful that you come with that experience in mind as you are in the larger group. And so while you do not have an agenda of specific steps or how to get there, there is a sense of having that experience and the wanting to convey it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why we spent the last year of, well, what is that experience? You know, how is it possible to identify it more specifically?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it is that identifying what it is that your felt sense about something, your idea, your thoughts, your creative contribution, and then not being able to say it right away because everybody can't speak at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're needing to hold that and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then check back. Has anything shifted there? And often it does. It does. It's amazing. And that's where the excitement and the energy and the enlivening process lies, in that shared space there.
So as you're talking about this, one very satisfying sense I have is how you convey a sense of what it feels like to be in such an environment. And I'm hoping that actually this encourages people to play with it and start experimenting with this kind of groups.
I would absolutely love to see that happening. And I think, you know, I think the it's the zeitgeist for that. I really do. I think the time has come, and I think it's happening. And the thing that there's an important piece which I think it can happen in a one or two or three time meeting of groups, but in terms of an ongoing organization, you know, that exists over time, there really needs to be a need again, a need for it, a need to coming together. There needs to be something that motivates one to want to continue having this kind of an experience and practicing and learning and being with one another. And in that regard, just specific to here in New York anyway, many of us in the planning group are older people, and I'm thinking of all the new trainees coming out of, like Charlotte Howarth's training, specifically here in the city, and thinking, oh, what we need to do is touch their need. Do they have a need for an ongoing community? Do they want to get actively involved in this intimate way, in helping this group to continue into the future? And there's a way to do it because the structure, the functions are all there. It's just a matter of the need being there and the capacity to develop these as a group together, developing these programs that are these topics that we can come together and discuss and talk and explore. It's more an exploration, conversational exploration. And so I'm really wanting to engage more of the younger people at this point.
Mm-hmm,
that's one
mm-hmm.
of that also stands there in the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so since these are conversational explorations, there's that sense of, there is something about the topics and there is something about the interest and what's in it for people to be there. It's not just an abstract thing, okay, we're there to explore shared field, but there's what is it that interests you that we can do together?
Mm-hmm. What is it that interests you, and for me, it's just the need for community, a cohesive, cohering community that has some regularity of getting together and seeing people and sharing together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's there for me.
Yeah, and so for you, that sense of a regular, cohesive community that's going to be
mm-hmm.
gathering and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Well, thank you, Serge.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.